How do you help a person reset that framework, that mindset? Because most people, from what I deal with when I sit across from them, they feel the shame and the guilt of putting themselves first. What have you found works to help them shift that?
When mom thrives, so can her children.
Welcome to the Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers podcast with Sean and Jasmine Turner, and sponsored by ParentEQ.com. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers. If you are new to the show, my name is Jasmine, and I put out this podcast along with my husband, Sean. And the way it works is I usually do a solo podcast every other week, and Sean will interview a real life parent every other week. He has a background in therapy, we have 8 children, and we just love to get on and share with you our experiences of what has worked and what hasn't worked, as well as invite on other parents to share their experiences. That way we all feel like we're one big team, right? Like we can really get this done together. So I'm really thrilled to share this episode with you. This is one where Sean has brought on someone to interview. And the interviewee is a mom with what I like to call a before and after story. Her name is Andra Erickson, and she is actually a Moms of Multiples coach. So she deals with parents, specifically mothers, of twins, triplets, and beyond. She herself is a parent of 11-year-old boys that are twins. And we actually are just a little behind her. We have 7-year-old twins. That's actually how we connected, was through the twin mom thing. And so it's been really fun to get to know her. Andra has a website, andraerickson.com, that you will definitely want to visit after this episode. It's amazing. She also is on Instagram at Moms of Multiples Coaching. So you can find her there. You can go to her website. She has an amazing story. When you get done listening to this episode, I'm going to tell you what you are going to have a better grasp on. One, you're going to understand the importance of self-care. And two, you're going to get some practical examples of what that can look like for you. Because I think sometimes when we think of self-care, we think of like getting our fingernails painted. And I know not all of us want to get our fingernails or our toenails painted. I mean, some of us like it, but you know, some of us don't. Some of us want to do something different. So again, I hope that you can enjoy this episode and that you can get a better sense of why self-care is important and how you can do it in a way that's not so intimidating. So without any further ado, here is Sean and Andra.
All right, Andra, thanks for joining us today. Can you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So I am a mom of multiples. I have twins who are 11, and then I have a singleton, like us moms of multiples call them. She is 7, and I spent the first 7 years of my motherhood just being a stay-at-home mom, and I loved it, but I struggled with it in many regards. There were times that I mean, like I said, I loved it. I love my kids. I really wanted to be a mom for forever. And so when I got the opportunity, I was so excited. But motherhood is hard. And I don't think we are fully equipped to handle it in a way that, so then we think something's gone wrong, and we think
right,
there's negative things going, like that we're doing something wrong and we're messing up our kids and all of that. And so I was so grateful to find the profession that I'm in, that I can know that motherhood is a journey, and it's okay to mess up. And in fact, messing up is how we learn and grow, and you're not messing up your kids and all the things. And so I absolutely love motherhood. You don't have to stay stuck or try to survive motherhood. There's things that we can do. And I love this podcast that is helping us learn all of that.
Right. Yeah. So what we wanted to try to do was create a place that you can get details about how to do certain things, but then also like foundational things.
Right.
Foundational areas. And that's kind of what that's kind of my forte. My wife and I kind of joke. She's very, very detail oriented and product oriented, where I'm like the opposite. I'm very big picture and just go with the flow, go with the process of things. And so we work well together when we know that we're not trying to change the other person into what we want them to be, right? Where we just work off of our strengths. And maybe we'll get into some of that a little bit later. But
well, that's so, like the magic of life, right? When we can just let people be their authentic selves and give ourselves permission to be our own authentic selves, man, that's when the magic happens.
Ooh, I love that word, permission. We were saying that the other day, like, I have permission to challenge any thought that comes into my head. And that's not a given for most of us. It's not like if we think something, that's reality. And it is, because we're deciding that's what we're allowing to come. But we can challenge that. So I love that permission.
We think that all of our thoughts are just facts.
Right.
They just are what they are. And when we can learn to give ourselves permission to challenge that. What if that isn't, what if that isn't true? How could that be the opposite be true? Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like curiosity is one of the best emotions that we can call upon, especially in motherhood and parenthood in all realms. Ooh, but
I'm getting goosebumps right now. Really? You're saying all the right things of what I've gone through. I mean, right. So we have our oldest is, he will be 22 in March, and our youngest is 5. And so I like to say, you know, I've been a parent for 22 years, and I still get to be a parent for like 15 more. And then you're still parents when they're
okay. I was going to challenge you on that one. I'm like, I don't think we ever get to stop, right?
Well, you're absolutely right, but it's different, right? It's having parents of children who are adults. That's another story.
That's another podcast.
Absolutely. It's a whole nother ball game, because there's different issues. There's different ways. And just like there are when you have younger kids and teenagers. So we'll probably get into that in a different time. But the idea here is that, curiosity. I was just thinking about that the other day too. The number one goal of ours, because we homeschool as well. I was in education for a long time. And I found that I can do it just as good and better with my own kids in my own house and setting, not just a house, but in my own setting. And I like to do it. So, but curiosity, that's a huge, I love that. I'm going to write that down. You said you have twins. Are boys, girls?
Boys, identical boys. They were spontaneous. We had no clue that was going to happen. And it really rocked our world. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of emotions and challenges and struggles. And there were times that I thrived through it, that I really did feel like, you know, I was doing the best that I can, and I did not do the negative self-talk and the negative, the judgments and all of that. But there were moments that happened, and then you feel like you're just surviving. And one of the things that I've learned is surviving is way more exhausting than thriving. Mm-hmm. And I think that moms in general, just they feel so exhausted. And so if they realized that if you just make teeny little shifts in your motherhood, that to then allow you to thrive, way easier. But then they feel like that's just another thing I have to do. That's just going to take more time and more energy.
It's piled on. Mm-hmm. So you have twin boys who are 11 right now. Wow. Okay. Tell me one or two main points, things that you have learned over the past 11 years with twin boys. What's something that you own because you went through it?
The first thing for sure is that kids actually do come with a manual.
Oh, do tell.
I truly believe that.
Do tell.
I believe this to be true, because here's the thing. You can have identical twin boys and you can need to do things different for each child. And mm-hmm. so I believe that us as moms, we are the instruction manual. We have that motherhood intuition that guides us as to how our children need us to parent them.
I love
them.
It. I love it.
And so
it.
When we learn how to tap into that, to not put down our self-confidence, that's, I think, the biggest thing is we don't feel confident in parenting. And so we shy away from it. So then we do all the Google searching and we do the Pinterest and what everybody else is doing, instead of just really coming into ourselves and saying, what do my kids need?
And oh, I love
then
that.
Not caring really what anybody else is doing.
Right.
Right. I don't care if you don't teach your kids how to do the dishes. I want to. And this is how I think I should.
Yeah. Right? I love it. So that's the title of our podcast. We are the manual. I love it. Yes. I love it as parents.
Yes.
So that's great, because that actually is a nice segue into, as I was watching just people in general. So I went through about 10, 15 years of in the education world, public school, and then private school. So I got to see different patterns and consistencies and where the hiccups were. And really what it comes down to is the individual child and their parents. I mean, you can't – yeah, I was in a classroom full of, you know, eighth graders, 13-year-olds, but every single one of those children had a parent at home that they went home to. So then I moved to the therapy world, the psychology world, and boy, I wish I would have learned all that stuff before I went into teaching, but everything that I learned in the teaching realm helped me with it. So it was hand in hand. So what I found is what it really comes down to, and this is what I've been working on the past maybe, I don't know, year or so, is that it really does come down to us and knowing who we are. So that's kind of like my little three step. And I don't like to do steps and lists, but I know there's a whole bunch of people out there that do. So step one, you hit it on the head. Step one is to know and understand yourself and not to worry about anything else right now, but to find ways to understand who we are personally. And that could be from, you know, what are my values? What do I truly value outside of the external world? Like, what are my own personal passions, values, belief systems? And that's hard to do in this day and age when we're being bombarded with everything. But it could also be like understanding even personality patterns. And then the therapist in me kind of kicks in, like, what are some of my core beliefs? Where did I get them from? Am I allowed to challenge them? Kind of focusing on that. Yeah.
Right. And one of the things that we, as one of the exercises that I like to go through is, if all of my kids weren't in the house, what would I do? If I had an hour to myself, what would I do? If I got to order pizza, or if I got to order dinner and I didn't have to take anybody else's thoughts into consideration. Uh-huh. Their perspective, what they want, what would I do? Because I feel like in, especially in motherhood, we lose ourselves because we just, everybody else wants Chinese. Okay, we'll eat Chinese. Everybody else wants to watch this movie. Let's watch that movie. Everybody else wants to go here on vacation. Let's do that. And so that's one of the ways that people can kind of find out, just at least start to find out about themselves.
Oh,
it's just
yeah.
asking yourself, what do you actually want?
How do you help a person reset that framework, that mindset? Because most people, from what I deal with when I sit across from them, they feel the shame and the guilt of putting themselves first, right? Thinking about themselves and not everybody else, or especially in this situation, their children. What have you found works to help them shift that?
When mom thrives, so can her children.
Right.
It is the least selfish thing for me to do, to take 10 minutes a day and do self-care.
Right.
It's the least selfish thing. I am kinder to my children. I am more present with my children. I am more in tune with their needs when I can take care of myself. You cannot give anybody water that mm-hmm. you don't have a cup full of. And that's what I was doing this first 7 years. What do my kids need? What does my husband right. need? What do my neighbors need? What does everybody else need? And I was missing myself.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I have an experience because we're right on this. So I was always raised, and this is very old school. I mean, we're in the 21st century. Things are different. The way our grandparents, our parents were raised and did things don't necessarily quite fit in our world. A lot of them do, and a lot of them are very good foundational principles. But I was raised that, and I'll tell you the big principle in the analogy, that if I was making dinner, I ate last because I was making the dinner and I was serving and I was making sure that the kids were being taken care of. So I got to a point where I realized I was hangry all through me making dinner, and then I was causing not a positive experience for the dinner. And I'm not talking about like a huge spread on your table. I'm talking about making pancakes at the counter, right? And I found that I was cranky. I was mad. So what I gave myself permission to do was challenge that. And I said, okay, so while I'm making it, I'm not going to call them in and have me make the dinner in front of them because they're hangry. I'm going to distract them, have them do something else while I'm making it. And then I'm going to eat too so that I can be in a different state of mind. It really was uncomfortable for the first couple times because that voice in my head was, you're being selfish. You have to sacrifice. You have to, I mean, in a way, be the martyr here and not eat before them. Whereas every single time, 100% of the time where I kind of eat real quick or eat my part of it, when I can now, and I say serve, you know, them, but basically just make dinner for them and help them get what they need, I'm in a way different frame of mind. But for so many people, that's hard to get past and to challenge. But it's doable, and it's so much better. So anyways, that's a little thing that I've started to do. And I know from the older, like my parents, or I know if my grandparents were around, they'd be looking at me because that's the way we were raised. They were raised in a different time frame, different time set with a different set of rules. Nowadays, I'm like, I just want it to be not chaotic, and I don't want to add to it. So I'm going to focus on myself for a little bit so that the experience can be so much better, less chaotic.
I think it's important to remember that children mirror our emotions.
Right.
And so when you're hangry and you're chaotic and you're frustrated during dinner, trying to make dinner, that's what the kids are going to feed off of. And then they're going to give that to you, and then you're going to give it back to them. And then it's just like this hamster right. wheel. And so when we can remember the underlying truth,
right.
The underlying truth is we want to enjoy this meal. We want to feed our little selves and connect as a family. Mm-hmm. You can then create the environment that you want and serve everybody. You're in there making pancakes. And what right. I do is I send my twins in there and I'm like, you go make the pancakes.
Right, right. That would right? be, that's like the next step, you know, yes. bringing them in. And so there's so many different situations. Absolutely. So one of the things I'm hearing you talk about is what's the actual goal? What's the destination? So the destination for making pancakes or whatever it might be would be, maybe they're just hungry and we got to get them fed. Okay. That's the goal. Then you just do the steps that get to that point. But if the destination and the goal is to have a positive experience together, is to learn and teach positive interactions, is to build the relationship, then I don't want to be hangry during. I don't want to add to the negativity of that. And we kind of do sometimes as parents, inadvertently. We don't do it on purpose, obviously.
Obviously.
And yeah. then we guilt ourselves or we shame ourselves later, and then that sets us up for failure for the next time. So having a new mindset on working on yourself. I'm trying to come up with some other examples that fit this. We got the airplane analogy.
Okay,
right?
I have one.
Okay, good. Oh, bring it.
So it's as if in parenthood we're on bicycles. Okay. And we're riding, we are riding around and are on this bike. And when we are not intentional, being intentional is like pulling over, getting in a car, plugging in the GPS, and then driving to the destination. Mm-hmm. But when we're not intentional, it's like we are on this bike, just we're moving, we're doing right. We're going through all the motions, we are struggling mm-hmm. so hard to get somewhere. Oftentimes we don't even know where or what the common goal is, what right. we're trying for. Really, what we want as humans is just to feel good.
Yeah,
just want a feeling, right? And so when we can pause, which is what we don't do a lot of, and get in the car and set our intention, set the GPS, it's just so much more smooth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's what I've found for kind of this three-step process. Number one, the first step, so there's three parts of it, knowing and understanding yourself. The second part is knowing and understanding the other person involved. So this could be a spouse. It could be specifically one child. It could be the family as a unit. So it's not just specifically to another person. It could be your boss. It could be the neighbor. So number one is knowing and understanding yourself. Number two is knowing and understanding the other person involved. Then after all that energy is put into those two, then the third one is what's the real issue? Knowing and understanding the issue. And 9 times out of 10, actually more than that, 99% of the time, by the time you get to, you've gone through knowing and understanding yourself, knowing and understanding the other person, knowing and understanding the issue takes a fraction of the energy because it kind of fixes itself by the time you get through those. The problem is what we do is we go straight to the issue and then we look at ourselves and the other person through the lens of the issue, which there's some validity to that. But if you're not looking at understanding yourself first and looking at the issue or the other person through that lens, you're going to be giving so much more energy to that issue. And it's all about energy now. I'm getting older and I'm like, how can I keep more energy for myself? Because I'm exhausted. You said it earlier. We get so exhausted. All these parents out there that are listening to this, I know that's one of the number one complaints. I'm just exhausted, exhausted, exhausted. So how do we become less exhausted? I love what you said. Taking 10 minutes, 10 minutes. I actually say schedule more time because we deserve a little bit more of that percentage. But
100%. Let's just start everybody off with 10. And right. when you can do 10, you can do 20.
Exactly.
And when you can do 20, you can do 30. So just start with 10, y'all.
Wow.
Wow, what an amazing episode. There was so much good stuff in there. And actually, there's a whole half of the episode or conversation that I get to put out another time that I just thought I would take a quick second and share my takeaways with you. First, you are the manual. You are the manual. So if you can kind of like what we always talk about, like you know yourself, you know your child. Like if you know your manual, if you know yourself, then you can help your child and you'll understand the instructions that were built into you. You can be intuitive about it. The last takeaway is the thing that Andra said at the very end. Start with 10. It's so important to understand that you don't have to do these huge things to do self-care, that little things will make a difference. It reminds me of last week's episode when I talked about how I was really frustrated that the house was cluttery and I didn't want to do it. But then I knew that if I just took a moment to like spend time with kids and decompress, I could go back to it and be energized about it. So sometimes we view things that seem intimidating because from our lens of not giving ourselves self-care, they're overwhelming. But once we do the self-care, it just becomes a whole new world for us. So again, those are my takeaways. And then, of course, sharing Andra's words that we need to thrive rather than survive. Her story is so inspirational. If you want to connect with Andra, again, I will leave her information in the show notes. And as always, we would love it if you could leave a rating and a review with us on Apple Podcasts and come on over to Instagram or Facebook and follow us. Those links are also in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. We look forward to seeing you again on the next one. Until then, here's to authentic and intentional parenting. Bye-bye. Last but not least, the advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional.